We were speaking last year about the question that the Balei Tosfos raised, the question of the Minhag HaOlam. How could it be that our sugya, in the first breath of Avodah Zarah, say quite clearly that one is not permitted to rent out the house to a non-Jew, because the non-Jew is going to bring Avodah Zarah into the house, and it's my problem, even though one could have argued that once I rent it out to the non-Jew, it's not really mine anymore. It says, no. Whatever that does or doesn't mean, the Mishnah says it's also. So how can it be that people do this? So we saw a whole array of different answers in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that maybe the Issa Derais is only whether there are kvios, only when the goy brings in Avodah Zarah all the time. Maybe the goyim today don't bring in Avodah Zarah as much. Maybe the Issa doesn't apply in Chutzlar. It's not called Bisecha. We saw all different possibilities in Rishonim as to how to solve this problem. So there's one last answer, at least that we're going to deal with, one last answer to this question that appears at the very end of the Rosh. And this answer really touches on Gideon Mominus, because the Gemara told us in our sugya that the reason why the halach was true in the first place was because of Schiris Lokanya. If somehow, somewhere, you could figure out a way to change the facts and the grounds of Gideon Mominus and somehow turn Schiris Lokanya into Schiris Kanya, I don't know how you're going to do that yet, but if you could somehow figure out how to do that, so then this halach will disappear. Because the premise of this entire issur of renting out houses to the goyim, as our Gemara said explicitly, because chiras lo kanya, therefore it's still called beisecha. So if for some reason that doesn't apply, for some deep, dark, mysterious reason that cloud doesn't apply today, then the entire issur will fall by the wayside. So if you take a look at the Rosh at the end of the ninth of the Maamar Kamos, the ode, it's two lines from the bottom of the Rosh, and the ninth of the Rebbe comes. The ode. Nihita l'didan z'chiris lo kanya. Even though it's true for us, in terms of pure halacha, z'chiris lo kanya. Kevan she'ad umos keifa, u'bidinehem z'chiris lo yom kebecher. Says the Rosh, we don't live in a society that's governed by Chashem Mishpat. We're living with non-Jews, and we're subject to their laws. And if I enter in an agreement with a non-Jew and a dintura is going to arise, he's not coming to my basin. He's going to his nobleman. He's going to his lord. He's going to his king, his duke, whoever's judging case in the Middle Ages. So says the Rosh, we don't have to look up in Chesh Mishpat. What Tati used that phrase, the Rosh saying, look up in Chesh Mishpat, since it was the Rosh's son, the Tor, who made up the term Chesh Mishpat. But I think you understand what I mean. That the Rosh says, we don't have to look up in our halachas of Dina Mamunis, how to govern Schiras. We have to look what the goyim are doing, because at the end of the day, we're going to have to follow their rules anyway. There's a certain degree of dina de machusadina here. Whether we like it or not, we're going to have to follow their standards of Schiras. And guess what? In the world of the goyim, Schiras is kanya. Here the Rosh has a little bit of a almost like an ironic twist. The Rosh says, v'dineyem Schiras de yom kemecher. In the goyish world, Schiras is like a daily kinyan. It's like a mechira liyoma. That phrase is right out of our books. That was the Gemara in Bava Metzia that said, that's the reason why there's no for Schiras. And that was the whole tumult that the Rishonim had. How could the Gemara say at the same time, Schiras lo kanya, and still be no because of Bechir Liyoma? So again, there were an array of answers to that question as the sugi began. But says the Rosh, the bottom line is, in the Goyisha world, which is more important for us right now, Schiras is considered to be a Mechira. And that's good for us. Because once Chiris is considered to be a Mechira, so then it comes out that when I rent the house to the non-Jew, it's not Pesach anymore. It's not my house anymore. If it's not my house, because today, with the Goy bringing all the idols that he wants, it's not my problem. He's bringing the idols into his house. So the name, quote-unquote, on the title and the deed now is the Goy's, not the Jews anymore. And therefore, because of the Goyish flip and the Mominus, we are allowed to be makil, and we can have the goy and bring the Avodah Zarah in, because bisman is it, lemais, for practical purposes, schiras is kind. So now the Rosh has to go one step further. The Rosh has to prove that this is true. How can you know, they got to ask the goyish lawyers. So how are you going to know what's going on in the Middle Ages and in the court systems? I don't even want to begin to contemplate about what was going on in the courts in the days of the Rush. I can just tell you that when it was the same courts and the same authorities that threw the Maharam Ruttenberg into jail for the rest of his life and then some. And when the same people are running after the Rush to try to kill him also. So again, it wasn't exactly the most just in society that the Rush was living in. But him calls it, there was some degree of Dina Mamun, some degree of court system going on. So the Rush is now almost challenging his own premise and saying, is it really true? Is that really with the Goyim of Paskening? That Chivis is a Mechiv Liyoma? So the Rush brings a Raya. So the Rosh is making reference to a Gemara in Bava Metzia, and he's proving from this line in the Gemara, the end of Bava Metzia, that his theory is correct, that the Goyim have a very, very different version as to what Tzchiris is, and that different version is going to make all the differences in terms of the Isser, or lack thereof, of having Goyim renting our houses. So what Gemara is the Rosh referencing? It's on the 10th of the Ramah Komos. It's a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Aleph Beis. Pshita. The Gemara says the following statement is poshut, is obvious. It's obvious for me to argue with the Gemara, but if I had to cross that one word, cross the word pshita, not only is it not obvious to us, it's obvious to the Amoraim, not only is it not obvious to us, but in a billion years, we would never have thought this would be true. We're still not even sure this is true. So pshita, the Gemara says, is obvious. Nafali beisa, amalei l'adifas binoim. The Gemara has the following. I own a house, and I own multiple houses. One house I live in, one house I'm renting out. Guy's got one apartment in Rehavia, and another apartment he's rented out in the old city. He's got multiple houses. And the house that he's living in, the landlord, his own house falls down. And now he realizes he's houseless. He's on the streets. And he remembers, wait a second. I rented out for the last year this house in Rehavia. So I go knocking on the door of the tenant who signed the lease at Rehavia for a year. And I said to him, listen, Rav Yid, it's not right. I should go have to move into the plaza at the hotel for a year. He said, I should be on the street. I said, you get out of the apartment that I rented you, I'm going to move back in. What's the svar? Adifas binoy. You're no better than me. How are you talking? How could it be? I'm the owner of the house, and I'm in the street, and you're sitting and enjoying my apartment. So even though, the other guy can say, well, what does that have to do with me? Your house fell down. No, So comes the Rush and says, go try to pull that off in a court in Germany in the 1200s. Let's go try. Go try to pull that off in the year 2021 in America. Go tell a guy, you signed the lease with the guy, you rented him a house for a year, you had trouble in your house, go knock on his door in the middle of the night, tell him to get lost. I'll tell you a way to get lost. So comes the Rush. How come we don't practice this din in the Gemara? So the answer is, this is halacha moshe b'sinai, this din in the Gemara. The Gemara is saying is that if you live in a world of schimus lokanya, where the relationship of a seicha is not all that strong, not all that powerful, seicha doesn't really own the house. It's not a temporary kinyan. If it would be a kinyan for a day, sorry, Charlie, the mosque's house fell down. We can't help you. But since chiris is such a weak kind of a relationship, it's chos estamshus, chios peiris, however you want to word it in terms of lingo of Dini Mamonis, that's chos estamshus can't be at the expense of the mosque living in the street. So one could argue that whole sugya in the Gemara of Mitzia is only true because we have a certain mindset of what chiris is. If you go to the secular courts today who are not enforcing, they would never in a million years enforce such a halacha. There's a reason why. Because they're looking at Tzchirus through the mindset of Tzchirus Kanya. It's a bechir. I sell you a car, and then I say, oh, by the way, I sold you a car. I'm having some trouble with my car. Please give me the car back. It's a bechir of the game. It's over. The game's over. So comes the Rosh and says that since the Goyim are clearly not viewing Tzchirus in those terms, where the halacha, so to speak, views Tzchirus, so that's going to impact in terms of Pesach Heter as well. That's going to be the source of the Heter, why we're allowed to let Goyim live in our apartments, live in our houses, even though the bringing in of it is our, that's okay, because it's not really our houses. And the truth is, once you accept this idea of the Rosh, that because of Dina de Machusa, everything changes, one could argue, this may change between Jews as well. The Gemara tells us that the principle called Kol Tanai Shiva Mamon Kayim. If two partners want to enter into an agreement against the quote-unquote Dina HaTorah, so can they do that or not? It depends on Dina HaTorah. In the realm of Issa V'Heti, you can't do that. In the realm of Dini Mamonis, you can do whatever you want. So the Mishnah says, Mashtes Shem Mechidim Lios Kishoyel. The guy says, listen, I want you to watch my animal for me. I'm not paying you. And I want you to be a shoal. I want you to have the responsibilities to pay, even if lightning strikes the animal. So it's fine. The Mishnah says, if both parties agree, take us away. The Torah says, the Shemachidim spot with Oynes, you have violated the Dvar Hashem. So the Dvar Hashem is that if you have a regular agreement, nobody says one way or the other. It's understood. So Shemachidim is potter. It's potter all lines. But if the guy wants to make it tonight, so the Gemara says the Kol Tanai should be Roman Kayim. If we want to set up an agreement between us, that we're going to use Chiris as a Kenyan, it could be that once the Goyim are doing it that way, once the Dinam, once in the secular courts, they're already enforcing Chiris as a Kenyan, it's very possible that there's almost like an umdino, there's like an unwritten agreement. When I rent an apartment from you, Bisban Azeh in Tinek, even though it's between two firm Jews, it's very possible that we're not going to follow the rules of Schiris Kanya, Schiris Lokanya. Once it's become so prevalent that nobody today would say Pshit and Ofle Besa, it's understood that when I sign a contract with you, for sure it's, I can't throw you out. I'm not a real estate lawyer, but I imagine that would be the halacha of Bisban Azeh. That if I rent an apartment from you, so that's it. That we quote unquote assume it's chirus is kanya. It's against the halach. It's against the gemara. It's not against anything. The gemara is saying that the general understanding is chirus kanya. But if you want to change that understanding between two parties, and the goyim do change the understanding, that will impact us in terms of chayshim mishpat as well. So now we have almost like a whole new twist on how we view chirus, and a whole new twist on the sugya in terms of. We got there. We're coming up with coolers. The Russians go with the great cooler to explain away why is it that people are renting houses to Goyim today. However, if you take a look at the 11th in the Maamar Kamos, every cooler is a chumrah. Because once we accept this idea of the Rush, that the Din Machus has in effect changed our halachic understanding of what's taking place in terms of Schiras, comes the Ramah with the following story that we made reference to earlier in the sugya. On the 11th of the Ramah comes, the Ramah writes, what if I rent the house from the guy? I'm not renting it to the guy, I'm renting it from the guy. One should be careful not to let the guy leave his idols there. Why not? What's wrong? It's not my house, it's the guy's house. What's wrong with me having the guy's idols in the guy's house? I'm just living in the house. So the Bir HaGra, the 12th of the Ramah Kamos, points out that there are two ways of understanding this Chumrah. One way of understanding the Chumrah is, even Medina de Gemara, Chiris Lokanya, kind of, remember we spoke about this earlier on, it's Lokanya a little bit, but it's Kanya a little bit. But says the HaGra, there's another reason why this Chumrah makes a lot of sense. If you take a look at the 12th of the Ramah Kamos, in the brackets of the HaGra, the second line, of a Yesh Lahashmir, one should follow this chumrah of the Ramah. Apima shekasev harosh, ahatir schirus lavi kicham ha'idna. The Rosh said that schirus is okay today to rent to goyim. Nehidol didan schirus lo kanya. Even though for us in pure cheshemish, but schirus is not kanya. Kevin shiyad umost kokfa. Since we are subject to the goyish rules, uvedineim schirus liyam kememcher. So what do you do? So comes the Gra, if you take a look at the last line, Koshka Yisrael, we come to Kanya. Says the Gra works in both directions. Says, if we're going to change the halacha, so to speak, and say, Schiris today is Kona, and that's the source for the kula of renting houses to Goyim, and you have to be consistent, be honest, and say, who are Dinami, if you rent houses from Goyim, that's a problem, because Schiris is Kanya, so it's a Jewish owned house. Give out the Jewish owned house with the Vedazar in it, even though the Vedazar is not mine, the Vedazar is the Goy's. That's still a problem. So that's what I mentioned. We spoke about this last week about the person who rented out the ski lodge. So if you rent out a ski lodge and there are idols in the ski lodge, that may be a big problem. That may be your problem. One could argue that would only be true if it's a kind of a relationship where I rent out something and I'm just rent out this particular place. Very often, especially in hotels, when you come to the hotel, you rent the room in the hotel. So it's not at all clear that you're renting a particular room in the hotel. In terms of pure dinim amunas, if the hotel knocks on the door in the middle of the night and wants to move you to another room, yeah, they're not going to necessarily do that. It's not very good for customer relations, but lemaisa they can. To the best of my knowledge, I don't think that you actually linked in into a contract. You're getting room 306. They want to move you to 308, so then they have every right to do so. So one could argue when you don't even have a shaychus to a room per se, that's not even schiras. If you rent a particular room, that's a problem. The post can talk about this. We mentioned this in the past. Baruch's mezuzah about there's a halacha that is soicher is chayv a mezuzah. The raisa, the rabbanim, the dinamar. Sometimes you have a relationship with somebody where you're not even a soicher. You are just kind of living there. You signed the contract to get access to a room, but not necessarily a room. This is the shot of the dormitories. When you have a boy in the dorm, so the parents signed a contract with the yeshiva, signing up for the dorm. You pay a hefty fee for the dorm. You sign a contract, and in a sense, rent out the dorm for a year. That's so posh. First of all, it doesn't say anywhere in the contract what room you're getting in the yeshiva. It's completely up to the yeshiva's discretion. They want to flip around roommates. They want to move you to another floor, another room, another something or other. They, I don't think there's anything legal that's binding them. So one could argue that when you rent the room in the dorm, you're not even a soicher. You're have a general right to use this area, but we can't even pin down any particular rule that you're in. What's in the motion of camp? You sign your kid up for camp. You sign a contract for thousands of dollars that you're, in a sense, a rental agreement, so to speak. I'm signing a contract that my kid's going to be able to be accepted. He's going to be living in the camp for 2 months. And then they decide, they put him in one bunk. And then the next day, they say, no, we're moving all the bunk, all the nitzis to the elephant. The only reference point of camp is Marsha. You're going to move one group to another group. You're going to go take them to the interior. You take them to court. Nope. My kid likes that bunk. You can't move to the room. I'm like, they taught us. Don't sign up to any particular room. So one could argue that's even one step less than a soicher. That's a nothing. So that was a big shot of Chuz Mezuzah. Who's chayv in mezuzah under those circumstances? This was a big machlokes years ago in back in Marasha. This was back about almost 40 years ago. They were redoing all the mezuzahs in Marasha, and they decided, and it's going to cost money, so they decided to send over that cost to the parents. So they added on, like a $10 mezuzah fee or something on top of the summer bill. And again, if you have 1,000 parents, $10,000. So they put up a mezuzah fee. So at the time, some of the rabbanim were in the camp, felt that wasn't right. Put them in a mezuzah fee. It's not the camper's responsibility to put up the mezuzahs. It's the camp's responsibility. Camp is by them. Kim Moshe has a funny thing. I think it's an out of profit. It's not exactly sure who's chayiv it is. But somebody is chayiv to put up the mezuzahs, not the members of the camp, not the campers. So the response from the administration was, what do you mean? This is a chavis hadar. If you live there, you're chayiv. So the response to the rabbanim was, no, it's not 100% true. This is a chavis hadar means you have to, if I'm just a guest at your house, you invite me to stay over for a few days in your house, I'm not chayiv a mezuzah. Even if you invite me for a month, I'm not chayiv a mezuzah. You throw me out at a moment's notice. So it's over here, you could throw me out. So the other response, well, you can't throw you out. We signed the contract with you. He says, no, you didn't sign a contract for bunk A. You signed the contract theoretically be on the grounds of Lake Como, used to be called Lake Como, the old days. They come up Pennsylvania for 6 weeks. But you want to move me from one room to another. That's not even a schiras, that's a garnish. So that was a running machlekes between the camp and the administration, some of the rabbanim on campus, as to who's supposed to pick up put the bill for this $10 new mezuzah fee. So I remember one Shabbos, those who know the layout, I don't even know the layout of what Moshe Kol looked like. So on the Kolo campus, so that's where the guest house was. Right when you come into Marasha, so there's the Kolo, and then you go down the road to the main campus. So the guest house, where the people would come for Shabbos, was on the Kolo campus. So every once in a while, when we had too many people in the Kolo, so they would let us keep, one or two of the guests during the week who was coming up to visit Marasha. So they let us use their guest houses. So one Shabbos was board Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken. In the old days, the members of the board come for Shabbos. So they needed a few extra rooms. So they kicked out some of the color guys, they kicked out some of the guys here. They moved their few guys onto the floor to make room for the board members. So I remember at the time, Rabbi Willis said, that just cost the board $10,000. That move. It was a Gloy Milson, it was a Raya Brewer. He could throw you out at moment's notice. It was Rabbi Shet, that summer was when the disagreement was going on about the mezuzah. So everybody said the boy just did themselves in. They just cost themselves $10,000 by kicking out a couple of color guys out of their room. A Raya Brewer that we don't have any shaykhs, but we're not real bottom of the camp. We're not even circle of the camp. We're gornish. We're just guests at the whim of the members of the administration. Yeah, I don't know what ever happened. I'm not sure whether they ever revoked the $10 fee or not, but that was the shaykh. Anyway, so we can make a scene with this thing, so we can start to get a little bit of a schadr next week.
What would be wrong in dividing when it comes to religious law?